Good morning. It's good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles together. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because in these moments we're reminded of how good you are. You remember Christ on the cross and Christ risen from the dead and your love for us poured out, making us right before you. And now, God, as we open your word and continue to read, I pray that you would speak to us through the words that we read, that you would draw our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we're flip over to the book of Colossians, we're going through Colossians, and I've been trying to every week bring us back to a question, the question being, what does it look like to be a child of God? What does the life of a Christ follower look like? What is it supposed to look like for a Christian as we live our lives? What does our relationship with God look like? That was the first two chapters. And then the second two chapters, chapters 3 and 4, are focusing heavily on how do we live that out? What does my life look like to you and to all those around me? And how do I live if I'm a Christ follower, if I'm a Christian? And so today, I'm probably going to say this a lot as we go through these. We've got a fun one. And if knowing me long enough, you know when I say fun one, it's like, it's going to be a hard one. It's going to be a difficult one. At first glance, it's going to be one that is going to appear to maybe not apply directly to all of us that much. I'm going to read this, and my first reaction when I read this is to say, I'm not sure that's me, but I know someone who needs to hear this, so I hope they're listening. But if we dig into it a little bit more, we might see ourselves, I think we'll see ourselves quite clearly in this text. Look at Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. And I know there's not even a comma there, it just continues on. We're just going to stay there, and we'll come back and look at the last half of 9 and 10 together, and that'll be in the future. But the first few words of that verse are enough for us for today. We only have a half an hour, so let's be judicious with our text. Do not lie to each other. Do not lie to each other. And you say, okay, so who's this verse for? Well, it's for liars. Are you a liar? I mean, we're in church, so we feel like I shouldn't say no to that, but I shouldn't say yes either. I don't think of myself as a liar. You think of yourself as a liar? You have to be a pretty honest liar to say yes to that, right? And we don't think of ourselves as... No one thinks of themselves as a liar, but you know a liar, right? I mean, don't nudge your spouse or the one sitting next to you. That would be wrong. But we know people who are liars. We know people. It's like I don't even know if when I listen to them talk, I know that probably half of what they say is not true, and I don't know which half. So I just don't believe anything they say. Do you know anybody like that? That's okay. But I don't see myself as being a liar. I don't see myself as being someone who has a problem speaking the truth. We would all like to say, no, I don't think I lie. So this text isn't for anybody, but actually it is for everyone, because the truth of the matter is we all lie a lot. We all lie more than we think we do. We probably lie to ourselves about how much we lie and what lies actually are. We lie so much that it becomes habit. Have you ever, for all of us non-liars in the room, have you ever just heard yourself say something and it just, you didn't even think, you just responded to somebody that asked you a question and you spoke back and then you realize, whoa, in your mind, you didn't say it, in your mind, that was not true. That was a lie. That wasn't true, but oh well, not that big of a deal. I'll just keep going. It's like, you know, so what happened? You were late. What happened? No, and then we say something and you hear yourself saying, it's like, that's not what happened at all. I just slept later than I should, or I was got involved in that TV show and didn't get out the door in time, but I'm not going to say that, so I said this, and just kind of just came out without even thinking about it. It's like we get in a habit of lying, and we can lie without even thinking about it. It's like we open our mouths and a lie can come out almost as fast or even faster than the truth. So what is What are lies? What is a lie? And if you say, oh, good night, this is just painstakingly boring, because we all know what lies are. It's when you say a really bad thing that isn't true, and you say something that's completely false, you say it out loud, and it's a big deal. It's like a big. It's going to hurt somebody. It's something that's not true, and it's a big thing, and it's going to hurt somebody. It's a lie. That's a bad lie. That's what a lie is. But I think we discount other things that technically is lying, is being untruthful, it's being dishonest. For example, it's just like, it's really not a lie if what I said was mostly true, right? And we kind of balance it out. It's like most of what I said was true, and then there was that other little part, but most of what I said was true. I didn't say something that wasn't true, but what I said gave you a distinct impression of something that, the impression you walked away from our conversation with was not something true. I know that you think different of what happened, but I didn't actually say that. I just, you got there on your own. You believe, I didn't say it. I gave you a false impression. Maybe I exaggerated a little bit. I mean, I told you the story, but I looked a lot better in that story than in reality because I left that one piece off, or I kind of blew up part of, the fish was this big, and my dad didn't even have to help me at all. I just got it in the boat by myself. It doesn't really count if it's kind of a small thing. I mean, does it really matter if I was late because I overslept or because I got tied up working? I mean, one of those two, I look better than the other, right? But that's such a small thing. Does it really change anything? That's not a lie that counts. That's not really a lie. It's nothing bad is going to come of that, of me saying that. I didn't hear you, honey, when you were calling me. What's the worst thing that's going to happen saying that? I mean, that's nothing bad happened. So we discount a lot of untruth that, because it's not that big of a deal, or we're not directly saying something that is completely 100% false. But you feel when you realize that somebody told you a story and they exaggerated it quite a bit, but the center part of that story was true. You feel like you were kind of lied to. Or when your spouse tells you one thing and it wasn't that big of a deal, but then you realize it's the complete opposite, but it was such a tiny little thing. I went walking, not I went to the mall with my friends. What's the difference? But you feel lied to, right? Well, I didn't really lie to you, but you feel lied to. Why do I feel lied to when you say, I didn't really lie to you? I mean, I see kind of how you got that impression, and I kind of guided you down that path, but I didn't tell you that directly. I didn't lie. Yeah, but you deceived me. Is deceiving the same thing as lying? See, it's all of that is lies. Not anything that isn't totally honest is lying. We can define lying down so much that we never lie. But in reality, when we're not completely honest, we're lying. Anything that's false is whether it's said directly or not, it's lying. Big things that we say that are completely false, that's a lie. But the little tiny things we say, little lies. It's still a lie. It's still something that's not true. Even if you say that doesn't really matter, it's so tiny. No one was hurt by that. Still a lie. I think that's an inconsequential thing. But if you're the one telling that to me, I think you're lying to me if I find out, right? It's a lie. We lie. What about lies that help? Things that, if I tell her this, she's going to get stressed out. Or if I tell my grandmother this, or if I tell my, they'll get stressed out, have a heart attack. Who knows? The worst thing that could happen. Maybe I just kind of protect them from that and tell them a little lie to help them. That's a lie. What about saying you're going to do something and not doing it, and not calling and saying you're not going to do it, and you realize you can't do it either? That's a lie. What about exaggerating? And That's a lie. It's not being honest. Telling part of the truth to give an impression that isn't true is lying. It's being dishonest. What about, I like this one, when I had to lie, because if I wouldn't have lied, I would have gotten fired, or girlfriend would have left me, or I would have got arrested. I had to. It was I didn't really have a choice. You see that, don't you? That's still a lie. That's lying, deceiving, not saying a lie directly. When we're talking and I realize that you've gotten a wrong impression, but it's actually kind of favorable to me. And if I would have been okay with lying, I would have said something to make you believe that anyway. So I kind of guided you down that path. And then I let you walk away with that. And I don't say, wait a second, that's actually not what happened. That's lying. That's lying. So every form of not being honest is lying, dishonesty. Why do we lie? If we lie so much, if we're much more dishonest than we think we are when we first think about it, why do we do that? Why do you and I lie? Doesn't it depend on the situation? Like, I don't always lie for the same reasons. It depends. It depends what's going on. I mean, one big reason we lie is because we're fearful of consequences. There's lies to escape. But they escape what would happen if I tell the truth. If you know, I get fired or arrested or whatever, they'll kick me off, or I'll get chewed out, or, you know, I didn't hear you, honey. That's a lie to escape consequences. Officer, I don't know how fast I was going. That's a lie to try to, in some weird way, escape consequences. I was supposed to be here at 8. I thought it was 9. That's a lie to escape consequences. We lie to escape consequences. That's one reason. It's not the only reason, though, is it? We lie to control, because I want to be in charge. I want to be my own God and control my own little world. I want you to do what I want you to do. And if I told you the truth and you knew everything, you would probably say no, or you wouldn't do what I wanted you to do. Things wouldn't turn out the way I wanted, so I lie to control stuff. I lie to make my wife and my kids and my friends and my family do what I want them to do. Because if I just say this at work, you say this, and then this happens. But if I told the truth here, then they probably wouldn't do this. So we lie to control stuff. We also lie. That's because of pride. But we don't think it's because we want people to think well of us. If I told you the real reason why, you know, I don't know. I always go back to late. I have a problem with time. So if I told you the real reason why I was late, you know, I get to something late, if I told you the real reason, you might think poorly of me. But I want you to think well of me. So I'm going to tell you reasons that make me look better than the truth actually makes me look. I want you to think well of me. My other car is a Porsche. That's a lie to make you... I don't have that bumper sticker. I could, though, because I drive a car that would look really good with that bumper sticker. That's a lie to make you think better of me than I actually am, than I actually deserve for you to think. That's why we exaggerate. We want people to think better of us. So why do you lie? Why do you lie when you tell lies? Doesn't it all come down to it's just because it's easier? It's easier to lie than to tell the truth a lot of times. As long as we don't get caught, it's easier to lie than explaining everything or having to ask for forgiveness or actually saying I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. It's easier to lie. I didn't realize. I didn't know. Next time will be different. It's easier to lie than to face disapproval from anyone. So what happens when we lie? Well, other than people losing trust in us and not knowing when they can believe what we're saying, look at what God says again in verse 9, chapter 3 of Colossians. Do not lie to one another. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off your old self with its practices. God says, just stop it. Don't lie. The big idea in this text is God's child, God's son or daughter, is supposed to be totally, completely honest all the time. Not exaggerating, not giving false impressions, not kind of tweaking stuff, not letting other people, you know, have a false impression of what actually happened. God's children are supposed to speak the truth and only the truth and the whole truth, and we're just supposed to be honest and transparent and upfront. Don't lie to each other. Don't lie. Don't give a false impression. Just say the truth. Be honest. Why would God say that? If the more we think about lying, the more we realize that's just kind of little untruths just get weaved into who we are and how we talk, to the point where we don't even realize how much we do it. Why would God say, don't lie? Why would God say, be completely truthful? Why would that be a requirement for God's children? Why would God say, my children don't lie? That's what it looks like to be in Christ. You don't lie to each other. You always speak the truth. Well, doesn't it go back to who God is? Look at John. I'm not going to flip to all the verses because I copy them into my text, my notes. And the speaking the truth, I won't lie. It's because I don't want to fumble around in my Bible in front of you and you think that I don't know my Bible as well as I would like you to think that I know it. So I copy them into my notes because I want you to think that I know the Bible pretty well. How's that for some truth-telling? Okay, John 14, look at verse 6, what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, I am, didn't say I tell the truth. He said, I am truth. And then look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. What is Jesus saying? It's what he said in John 1. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said that not in John 1, another place. But he came to show us the Father. That's John 1. Jesus came to be the physical representation of God. And what did Jesus say? I am truth. God is truth. One of God's attributes is that he doesn't just say the truth. He does. But his attribute is that he is truth. And the reason God always speaks the truth is because he is truth. And in fact, so lying or being dishonest, giving a false impression, exaggerating, whatever, you know, little white lie, whatever name you put on it, being dishonest at all goes against God's very character, goes against who he is. Lying is the opposite of what God is. That's why God would say, don't lie if you're my children. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. And that's why a verse like this starts making sense, because God is doesn't just say truth, he is truth. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Why? Because it goes against who God is. God is truth. And lying is exactly the opposite of what God is. And then look at verse 19. A false witness who breathes out lies. Only thing there in that verse that's duplicated, really. It's God hates lying because it goes against who he is. It's the opposite of who God is. And so then flip to the other side of the Bible. Flip to Revelation 21, verse 8. Is it the end of that beautiful section where it details how God's children will live with their Father? There'll be no more sadness or death or tears, because all that will have passed. And then look at verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, he's listing these really big sin categories that all of us in our fallenness, we fall into some of those, one or two or three of those. Idolater, that catches everybody. He catches big sin categories. And look at the last one that he puts in there. And all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God will punish lying for all of eternity. Why? Because it's rebellion against him. It's us trying to take his place by controlling our life, controlling what you think of me, and controlling what you're going to do. And in so doing, I'm acting in a way that is completely counter to who God is. That's why God says, my children lie. Look then at 1 Peter, just back a couple of pages. 1 Peter 2, 22. I'm talking about Jesus, he, the one who was truth, so this verse should be no surprise, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus represented his Father perfectly. He never lied. Never deceived. So maybe if you say, well, lying isn't really, you know, it's not all forms of being dishonest. Okay, be technical about it. Look at what it says about Jesus. Neither was deceit. That's any dishonestness in his mouth. He represented who the Father was. And then if you take that one step farther, we're made in God's image to reflect who God is and what he is like. And if that's true, the same way Jesus, no deceit found in his mouth, God says, my children, don't lie. They're to be honest, because I am truth, and my children are to speak truth as well, always, no matter what the consequences are. And so you just think down a little bit, and then you realize, well, that kind of makes sense, because even when I lie, doesn't really make tons of sense to lie. It doesn't really work out very well. Because even when I deceive you, which most of the time when, you know, somebody lies to you, you kind of know. But even when I deceive you, I'm not deceiving God. God knows that God knows the truth behind what I'm saying. And even if you say, oh, okay, he knows what's behind that. Look at, flip to the complete other side of the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. When Cain and Abel offered two different sacrifices to God, and God was more pleased with Abel's than with Cain's, and Cain was angry with his brother because of what he had done, not because of what his brother did. So look at this little snippet of that story. Verse 8, Genesis 4, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" One of the first recorded lies. And the Lord said, so he's lying. He's trying to escape consequences, right? The Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." God knows all. He sees all. So it doesn't make sense to lie to God, because if I'm lying to escape consequences here, okay, maybe I get out of an officer writing me a ticket, but God is the judge of all the world, and his consequences are bigger than any consequences that I would face here. And when I lie, I don't escape his consequences. In fact, I heap more sin on myself that I'll pay the price for. And if we're talking about escaping consequences, lies don't make us escape consequences. The blood of Christ makes us escape the consequences, the true consequences for our sin. In Christ, we're forgiven for everything, so we don't have to lie to escape consequences. It doesn't make sense to lie, because it doesn't truly change opinions of that matter. When I lie because I want you to think better of me, I want to change your opinion of me, maybe I make you think better of me than I deserve in the moment, but only God's important opinion matters. Only God's opinion is important. What you think of me really doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter, and ultimately it doesn't matter. But what God thinks of me is ultimately important, and God knows the truth about me. Even if I make you think that I'm a much better person than I actually am, God knows who I really am, and I don't have to lie to make him approve of me, because if I'm in Christ, he loves me, and he's happy with me, and he approves of me. I don't have to lie to make him be happy with me. And when I lie to control stuff, that doesn't make sense either, because even if I kind of can manipulate my life, which you know you really can't, it doesn't work out. People don't do, no matter what you tell them, they don't do what you want them to do. But even when I kind of can manipulate my life, doesn't really work out, because God controls everything. He's the one who controls everything, and I can't manipulate him. I can't manipulate him, especially with my lies, because he knows the truth behind my lies. And if I'm in Christ, he's given me everything anyway, and he wants the eternal good best for me anyway. So lying doesn't make sense to control, because my Father controls everything, and he loves me. So if we get to the end and you say, okay, I do lie, I am dishonest, don't like to say that, but I am. What do I do with that? Because I know I shouldn't lie. I should be honest. What do I do with that? I can't stop lying. I open my mouth and untruths come out even before I think about it. And if I stopped and thought before I spoke an untruth, I would still speak the untruth, because I don't want you to laugh at me. I don't want you to think bad of me. I don't want to have to face the consequences of what I do. In the moment, it just feels too real. I can't not lie sometimes. How do we stop lying? It's simple and really hard. We say the truth. We always speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we do. We're supposed to speak the truth all the time and accept that people might think badly of us. It's learning to just make ourselves say the truth and then face whatever consequences are on the other side of that. It's learning how to say no without having to give an explanation sometimes. You know how when, you know, could you do this for me? No, because I have to do this and this and this. And we think we have to make up an excuse that the other person will accept, and when we could just say no, because a lot of times that excuse is just totally made up lies. So why not just say no? I can't. I don't want to. I'm not going to. It's correcting false impressions. When people walk away from a conversation with us and they think something that didn't happen, we go back and say, no, that what you thought wasn't true. I lied. I wasn't honest with you. It's having that conversation. It's correcting past lies. It's always saying the truth. And I'll tell you what, you know, the easiest way to make us say the truth is if you make yourself correct lies that you tell, like go back to the person, say, you know, that I told you about, that was a lie. That wasn't true. Do that two or three times. And the next time that we're about to say a lie, yeah, I'm going to have to correct it anyway. That's so much more embarrassing. I'll just say the truth right now. Just say the truth. And what about the consequences that come from saying the truth? Because right now, if you're thinking about this, you're probably thinking about times when you lie that it's like, I don't have any other choice because I know what will happen. I know how bad things will be if I actually say the truth. I want to end with two verses. Because God says in his word, if you trust me, I will take care of you. And it's not a promise that he'll make everything turn out the way we want it to. It's not a promise that we'll escape earthly consequences. I'll still get the ticket for going too fast. But it's a promise that if I trust in God, one of the biggest ways to show our trust in God is to speak the truth and let God handle the consequences and let God handle the fallout and put ourselves in God's hand and say, whatever they think of me, whatever happens, I'm going to say the truth, I'm going to obey you, and then whatever happens, it's in your hands, and I'll just go with it as being part of your plan. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. This is a fighter verse when we're in the moment of feeling like we have to lie, otherwise the consequences are going to be so bad. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support. Okay, just stop there for a minute. God's looking around the whole earth. Think of that. God is actively in this moment looking around the earth. And he's looking because he wants to give strong support. His strong support to who? To those whose heart is blameless towards him. Read the context. It's those who trust in him and face the consequences. That one's not about lying specifically, but the principle holds. And then look over at Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen. There's something that's totally different, totally unique. No one has seen, no eye has seen a God besides you. So it's only one who does what? Who acts for those who wait for him, who trust in him, who obey him and leave the consequences to him. That's why we can confidently speak the truth, even though we know that it's going to turn out bad, because we serve a God. We serve a God who acts for those who wait for him, who trust in him. And when I obey God, doesn't mean everything's going to turn out the way I want it to, but I'll be trusting his sovereignty. And isn't that the essence of being a Christian? Isn't that the essence when we give ourselves to God and say, you'll be the Lord of my life? It's saying you'll run things. And the biggest way that I try to run things in my life is lying. And the biggest way that we show our dependence on God and our surrender to him is by not lying. Saying, I'll tell the truth. I'll be like you. I'll tell the truth. And then I'll trust that you have things in your hand and you will take things and take my life where you want it to go. And you will control things much better than I could. So what do? We should speak the truth if you're God's child. And if you're listening to this passage today and if you say, okay, that's clearly a passage for Christians, you're right. And if you say, and I'm not a Christian, I've never made my decision to follow Jesus. I know about God, I read the Bible, but I've never repented and been baptized. I've never given myself to Christ. So that's not a passage for me. Not directly, no. But the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the one who is the truth, invites you not to start telling the truth more. He invites you to enter into the truth, to enter into him, to be united to him, to become God's child, to repent and be baptized and say, I will stop trying to control my life by lying and all the other ways I try to do it, and I'll let you be the one who runs my life. That's the essence of repenting and being baptized and giving yourself to him. And if you've never made that decision this morning, the one who is the truth invites you. And when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. Just here, tell someone, I'm ready. I want to repent to be baptized, and you can do that. And if you are a Christian, obviously the application is so direct for us. It's grab onto the truth, make the decision today. If you already made that decision, remake it today, because lies just kind of creep into our lives. I will only tell the truth. I will tell the truth always. That's the decision that we're called to make. And part of that, and this is maybe the hard part, are there any lies that you've been telling or living that you need to go back and correct? You need to call somebody today. And if there's one thing like that just pops into your mind right now, that's probably the Holy Spirit giving that to you. If you're like, well, yeah, that's not the only time I've lied, and I can't correct them all, so I'm not even going to... Okay, obey the one that God puts in your mind. Call that person today and say, I let you think something that wasn't true. I lied. I wasn't honest. Whatever. Just confess your sin. Correct the lie. As embarrassing as that will be, much more embarrassing to do that to that one person today than it will be before God. So clear that up, and then grab onto the truth. And let's be people who tell the truth and confess when we don't. Why don't we stand, and we'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you today, and we thank you because you are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for inviting us to come to you, to be like you, to be loved by you. God, I pray that as we do that, you will convict our hearts of how we try to control things by being dishonest. And that you will give us the conviction of seeing and knowing and saying, I need to be honest all the time. I need to tell the truth like my father. And that we would be children of yours who reflect you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.